Ergo, Public Enemy, November 14th from 10 p.m. to midnight. We're going to focus on Public Enemy. Why? Because we should. So join me. Let's fight the power as we chronicle and profile Public Enemy, November 14th from 10 to midnight.
Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Cascade Media Convergence, a regional gathering of community-based media makers sharing space and skills to build solidarity on November 14th and 15th on the Portland State University campus. There will be skill shares, issue-based strategy sessions, regional breakouts and workshops, as well as movie screenings and a keynote presentation, editors of Octavia's Brood, science fiction stories from social justice movements. Again, that's the Cascade Media Convergence, November 14th and 15th, on the Portland State University campus in downtown Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, November 3rd, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the air. On the web. This is going to be an interesting program today. We've got two guests, one very familiar to the listeners. Jody McCaffrey is joining us with some really huge breaking news from Jordan Cove. And we also have, first up, Dean Clancy. He is a Tea Party-aligned former White House and congressional aide, currently a partner at Adams Ald LLC, and he is on board opposing forced arbitration, which, if you look at the fine print, you'll find in pretty much every consumer so-called agreement that you come across. Take a look at a credit card agreement. Somewhere in the fine print, it's going to say that you can't, if anything goes haywire, you can't sue them. You have to go to forced arbitration. And a lot of people right now are pretty angry and hot under the collar about that. And one of them, of course, being our guest, Dean Clancy. And we want to talk to him about what brought him to this position on the issue. I want to first just quickly knock out a few headlines. Law enforcement officers accused of sexual misconduct and have jumped from job to job. At times face fresh allegations, including raping women, because of a tattered network of laws and lax screening that allows them to stay on board and on the beat. There was an AP investigation into this, and what they uncovered was pretty alarming. It's sort of an insider's club, an old boys club, as it were, amongst police, some police departments, that allows this to happen. They want, of course, to have very clear rules regarding any information that previous or prior work situations provide. Let's see, activist protesting Bank of America's financing of an LNG facility in Maryland suspended themselves from the upper deck of the Bank of America Stadium during the Monday night football game. Protesters were, of course, arrested. Police not released their identities. And the partnership between Facebook and police could make planning protests impossible. A high-ranking official from the Chicago Police Department told attendees at a law enforcement conference that his agencies be working with the security chief at Facebook to block certain users from the site. Quote, if it is determined they have posted what is deemed criminal content, close quotes, and that can be used against protesters planning demonstrations. Yep, go figure. How corporation, we're going to be talking very soon, right now, in fact, we have Dean Clancy on the line.
Dean, yes, I'm here.
Good morning and welcome to the KBOO Airwaves. You are exactly the guest I've been wanting to have on for, these many years. Your background, of course, is going to send many listeners right over the ledge. But we want to hear what you have to say. As I mentioned in the intro before, Dean Clancy is a Tea Party aligned former White House and congressional aide and current partner with a white law firm. He writes on healthcare budget and constitutional issues. So former VP too, I see here at FreedomWorks. That's quite a resume, and this will cause for apoplexy amongst many listeners, which is why I want to have you on the show. I want to know what brought you to your views on forced arbitration, which so few people don't know about, and a lot of people who are sort of against consumerism, against the whole idea of ownership or money, but of course they participate anyway, whether they like it or not. But no one reads the fine print. What moved you to work on the problem and come out punching on behalf of consumers?
Well, yes, you're right. I am a conservative, but you know, I can think for myself on issues. And my focus really is for the individual and for the Constitution. So I don't like forced arbitration because it violates both of those things. It's just unjust. There are really two kinds of conservatives in my experience. There are pro-business conservatives and pro-market conservatives. And I'm in the latter camp. So I don't hold any particular brief for big business, the Chamber of Commerce, or corporations generally. I think they can often be very corrupting of our political system and unfair to individuals. And I think when you look at the Constitution, you realize that the founders thought that a civil jury trial was an important pillar of liberty. They put it in the Seventh Amendment and mentioned it in the Fifth Amendment as well as something that should be protected. So, yeah, I am a conservative, and I agree with the consumer advocates and the trial lawyers on forced arbitration.
But do you have any insight to how this happened? How did we end up with so many agreements between consumers and companies marketing to them, that clauses appear in the fine print that say very clearly that there's no room for jury trials, there's not going to be any lawsuits here, that it goes immediately to forced arbitration, no matter what the complaint, however egregious the activity of the company, however damaging, it goes to forced arbitration. How did we arrive at this point?
Well, in my opinion, we're here and we have these forced arbitration agreements. You're right, in everything, credit cards and rental cars and appliances and nursing home contracts, they're everywhere. And I think the reason is because we didn't follow the Constitution. Congress got on the wrong track back in 1925 when they passed the Federal Arbitration Act, which said basically these kinds of clauses are enforceable. The courts have to enforce them. Prior to that time, the courts, following the common law tradition, had said, you know what, we're not going to necessarily enforce an arbitration clause. We're going to look to the justice of the agreement? Were the two parties of roughly equal negotiating power? Did they both understand what they were getting themselves into? You know, these clauses force you into arbitration before the dispute has even arisen. You don't know what kind of injury is going to be done to you. And it's only after the injury has been done that most people even wake up to the fact that there's this clause binding them to arbitration rather than to court. So Congress got off on the wrong foot there, and then the Supreme Court upheld the Federal Arbitration Act, said that that's fine under the Seventh Amendment. I think the court was wrong about that, but that has stood. And then in recent years, a very pro-business Supreme Court has issued a series of decisions that have basically expanded the reach of the Federal Arbitration Act so that states cannot kind of pass laws to protect consumers. So now that act is being used to knock down state laws to protect consumers. And that's really ironic because the whole point of the Bill of Rights was to protect the states and individuals from the new federal government that was being created. Now that has been turned on its head by the Supreme Court, and the Federal Arbitration Act is being used basically to knock down consumer protections.
This is what you're saying everyone should hear loud and clearly and be aware of. Well, it does indeed astonish me that so few people are, in fact, aware of it. And it is, you know, one's personal responsibility to learn about this and maybe speak out, take action, let elected officials know that you're not happy with it. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. My guest, of course, has been Dean Clancy, and we're so glad to welcome you to the KBOO Airways. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We're going to go now to Jody McCaffrey, who has some breaking news coming out of Coos Bay and the Jordan Cove proposed LNG terminal. Good morning, Jody, and thanks. Welcome back to the KBOO Airwaves.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that was bracing, the previous one. So can you let us know what is going on there? Apparently, yesterday, Jordan Cove requested a withdrawal of their land use application. Can you enlighten us on what happened there?
Well, this was a pretty significant land use application. It included like 7 applications in one. It included their barge berth, their fire station. They were actually attempting to take their import conditional use permits and switch them to export in that process. They have a gas processing facility that this included. Some road alignments, a utility corridor. It was a significant land use application. Actually the hearing was in May, and it took a while between the comment deadlines and rebuttal comments, and we've been waiting for several months for the hearings officer's recommendation. And in another proceeding, he informed us that he had been told to stop working on it. And he was shocked that they hadn't withdrew it. Well, now they've withdrawn it. So this is pretty significant, because if you don't have a land use, you really can't do much of anything. We've heard that they're going to reapply, but that's another process that we will be having probably public hearings and stuff on. So I just encourage people to stay tuned, because last night also the city of Coquille had before their city council resolution that was supporting the Jordan Cove project, and it kind of, the way they sounded, several of the council members, you know, were ready to approve the thing, but people showed up, they commented, we had excellent comments that went in, and in the end, they basically, no one even filed a motion to do anything with it, so it just died. So people power is important, and people participating is important, because neither one of these things would have happened without public participation, comments, and people spending some time really giving the decision makers a reason for why this project's wrong.
This is really good news, and it also, again, affirms what everyone here believes and says all the time, and that is, 99% of it is just showing up. just showing up, just going to a place at a time and being there. People are welcome at these meetings, you oftentimes, to make statements. And my experience, those statements come from very well-informed, well-sourced knowledge base. And so this is persuasive. Do you want to let people know about how they can stay informed? These matters, of course, outside of the purview of Portland, and so very often are ignored. So let people know once again, if you don't mind, how to figure out what to do, find out more, and be prepared to show up. It's a lovely, lovely drive. You could bring friends, carpool, and get down there. So, what do you suggest?
Well, you can. We have a website that I try to do my best to keep up on.
It's a good website.
It's citizensagainstlng.com. There's also No LNG Exports website too that you can link to, actually from our website, that tries to keep people informed of some of the state actions, because there's actions now going on all across the state, not just here, trying to raise awareness of what's going on down here, because sometimes it's hard for us to get that information out. If you email at the bottom of the our website, there's an email address, and if you send me an email and say you want to be on my email list, I can get you on our email list where you'll get sent information about when these hearings happen, when there's public times to participate.
And that's how you do it. Thank you so much, Jody. We're completely out of time. So glad that you could come on the show today. And this is indeed good news and very encouraging for everyone. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, November 3rd, 2015. Janet Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigation.